Here is Bob Papa, I believe, making his debut on Overdrive.
Yes.
How's it going, Bob?
Hey, it's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. I need you to hook me up here because we have a friendly bet going on, and I'm on the wrong side of it, I know. But I got talked into taking the Bills this weekend. With Josh Allen making his debut, they got the Chargers at home. Can you conjure up, even if you have to lie to us, can you picture the Bills making this a competitive game this weekend?
If they force a bunch of turnovers, and over the last couple of years, the Chargers have found some unique ways to blow games with their special teams, missed extra points, missed kicks, 12-yard punts. That's about the only way the Bills are going to win the game.
Okay, so if we want to put like a likelihood of that happening or like a percentage, like that's not happening, right?
Well, I mean, the Chargers, I mean, look at their games over the last couple of years and how bad it's been. I'll give you a 10% chance that happens.
There you go. So you're telling me I got a shot. That's all I needed to hear,
Bob.
You're
saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. I love that. 12-yard
putts. You always got a shot.
That's right. What did you make of the Bengals last night? Andy Dalton, one of the most difficult guys to get a read on and predict what he's going to bring. But the AFC North appears to be wide open, and the Bengals are at 2-0. What did you make of that game?
I like Cincinnati going into the game because of the matchup. They've played Baltimore tough over the years, and Joe Flacco and the Ravens' stats against Cincinnati have never been great. Look, I love their fast pace that they kind of went with, and you know, get the ball to A.J. Green. Look, they threw a couple of 50-50 balls there. I mean, his second touchdown, Dalton threw it into triple coverage, and I still don't know how it wasn't picked or Suggs at least knocked it down. But with that said, I'm a little bit higher on Cincinnati than most people are this year.
With Bob Pop of Sirius XM NFL Radio.
It's overreaction any day in the NFL, but you look at Flacco, Lamar Jackson sitting there. Is there any pressure on him to get it done next week? Or is it just one of those things where he's the veteran guy, the Super Bowl guy, and he's going to have all the time in the world to figure this out?
I don't think it's that way. I mean, I think for the first time, owner Steve Bisciotti at the end of last season said he was thinking about making a coaching change, and John Harbaugh has been pretty entrenched there. And then they drafted Lamar Jackson in the first round, and that was a clear sign to Joe Flacco and the coach, what you guys have been doing isn't good enough. So they've got to get it squared up. It looked great in week one against Buffalo. Obviously, it looked bad last night. But they've got to be more productive offensively and more explosive plays. And listen, they got to get to the playoffs and contend, or else there could be a lot of changes there next year.
Some big games this weekend. Let's take them in chronological order at 1 p.m. Packers at home against the Vikings. If Rodgers plays, how do you see that playing out?
Whether he plays or he doesn't play, I like Minnesota to win the game. Look, we saw how Green Bay struggled against the pass rush on Monday night by Chicago, and then obviously they pulled a rabbit out of the hat. Here's the difference. Minnesota has just as good a defensive front, but the back end of their secondary is a lot better than Chicago's. They got Harrison Smith, who's a Pro Bowl safety. They've got good corners, and they can score as well. And I'm not sold on that Packers defense. Mitchell Trubisky for a half looked like a stud. So I think Minnesota will move the ball on him, and I think that defense is going to give Aaron Rodgers a lot of issues, whether he plays or not, because we know his mobility isn't going to be there, and they're not going to let him just sit there flat-footed and heave the ball all over the place.
Bob, we were just talking about the idea of Jalen Ramsey and Gronkowski matching up. Could you see that playing out at all this weekend?
Yeah, I could see it a little bit because, you know, Jalen Ramsey's got some nice size to him, and I think they're going to use multiple coverages against him. I was impressed with Jalen Ramsey last week in the sense that he and Odell diffused any of the conversation that had been made leading up to the game, and they just kind of played it straight up, and I think they'll be the same this week when they play the Patriots. Look, they're going to have to double-team Gronk as much as humanly possible. But then again, when they do, again, who does New England throw it to otherwise? Their receiving core with Edelman out is just I mean, the fact that they had to sign Corey Coleman tells you all you need to know.
Me and my partner here are in a survivor pool, and we had discussions about the Saints. They're at home against the Browns.
That's
right. I mean, is there any chance that they lose two in a row at home? Could the Browns do this? Or the Saints, if they lose this, are they for real? Is that crazy that we even thought about that or as a possible pick?
Well, all right. So I like New Orleans, too. I mean, I don't know if I would make them my survivor pick, but here's a fun stat for you that we talked about on my show this morning. Did you know that the New Orleans Saints have started every season off
0-2,
0-2 and worse since 2013?
Wow.
I mean, and they've had some good teams, including last year's team that started off 0-2. I don't see Cleveland going in there and beating them, though. I don't see it. I think Cleveland ends their losing streak probably Thursday night when they host the Jets, would be my guess.
That's a trend, though, to just stay away from that. Yeah. Who wants to touch that?
No kidding. You're obviously really familiar with the Giants. They're in Dallas, Cowboys, Sunday night. Big matchup, marquee matchup. Both teams losing in week one. How do you feel about that game on Sunday night?
You know, it's interesting because both teams struggled offensively. We know that. But I think it's one of those scenarios, right, where you take a look at the Cowboys and, you know, they had 11 third down attempts. They were 2 for 11 on third down. And of those 11, 7 of them were for 10 or more yards, which is one of the reasons why they had such an awful result last week. I kind of look at this game as the Giants are not as good a defense as the Carolina Panthers, but I think they can do enough to slow down Ezekiel Elliott. And when they do, who's Dallas throwing the ball to? I mean, who are the receivers? Who's going to threaten Janoris Jenkins and the Giants secondary? It's not the greatest secondary, but it's good enough. And I think watching the Giants move the ball against Jacksonville last week, and let's face it, if the O-line holds up just a little bit, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have over 200 yards because he was running through the secondary at will. I think the Giants will score enough points in this game to win.
The Giants, what's the abuse going to be like? I mean, Sam Darnold, if he keeps performing, you know, I know they drafted a fantastic running back and he performed last week. I think he had a couple touchdowns, but Eli Manning's starting to look like an old man out there. Is the abuse just going to be all year long?
Oh, it's already started, and there's a lot of Giants fans that are saying, see, I told you so.
Yeah.
Look, here's how you're going to determine what went down. The Giants are banking that, not necessarily this year, they know that they can't fix their awful roster from 6 years of bad drafts over the last 6 years with this new regime coming in. They know they can't fix it all in one season.
Thank you to Bob. Probably on his way to Dallas, I would think. Probably calling that game Sunday night.